Scalpins Avenue.
Julian.
And I'm Meg.
And this is I would say it's another episode of The Soft Spot, but it's the same one again. It's our first rerun.
It's a rerun.
This isn't a rerun. This is new.
This is fresh just for you.
We're about to play an older interview episode. Probably our favorite.
Probably
one of our favorites.
Your favorite. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you haven't. But it features one of our good friends,
Karen Kilgariff.
Maybe you've heard of her.
But it was just so much fun to record. She's so funny.
And
she deserves all of her success.
She does deserve all of her success. And her and I still laugh about a special moment that happened on this very interview.
See if you can beef it. I mean, spot it. We are in... The reason we're not doing another new interview is because we went on vacation and forgot to make one.
And so, right now, we're in Cabo, bitch.
But it's not my fault because I've never been on vacation, so I'm not sure how to handle my regular life.
So he's just not good at preparing or doing anything like that.
By the way, can't recommend all the Cabos enough. They are so... Cabalicious. What is a Cabo, by the way?
I don't know.
Is it a cave?
I think maybe.
Or a cape?
I thought you said you spoke some Spanish.
Yeah, but Cabo ain't in it.
Okay. Well.
We went ziplining today. That was fun.
Yeah. I'm letting my pale little white chichis run free in this country. And it fucking rules.
And I'm constipated. So let's get our show started. I don't remember when we recorded this.
And feel free to write in if you have any vacation constipation tips from a boy Julian.
Well, hopefully it'll be too late by the time I hear him. But thank you guys.
But you never know. You never know.
I might be in the hospital when this comes out. All right. Without further ado,
let's get to our interview with our friend Karen, who is going to talk about
The Lawrence Welk Show.
From Hollywood, we bring you The Lawrence Welk Show.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Julian. Hi, Meg.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
You're our first guest that we picked up.
Yeah.
It worked out. Do you need a ride, Karen?
Right?
Cross-promotional. Karen's other podcast is Do You Need a Ride?
Cross-promotional. It was the perfect timing because luckily I was at the Lexus dealership near you.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that's why I never get my car fixed is because then you don't have a car.
Exactly.
And it's when is a day where you go, yeah, today's a great day to not have a car.
That's why I that's why we live near a Lexus dealership. So when we're getting our Lexuses fixed, we can walk home.
It's just Toyota. That's not a brag. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, but it was like the perfect, because right as you were like, are we still doing this? I was like, oh, yeah, because now you're my ride. Now I want to do it even more.
How are they at the Lexus dealership? Are there peanuts? Is there coffee?
Do they shower you with gifts when you walk in the lobby?
It is a masterclass in customer service.
Is it?
I'm not kidding. Somebody immediately comes to you and apologizes that you have to wait, even though if you just pulled in.
You just walked in.
Sorry for the wait. And then the first guy I talked to was just coming by to check my tires separately as a thing that they do. He's like, I'm just a tire guy. I'm just making sure all four of you are good because you might not be there for tires.
That's absolutely not what happens to us when we go get our Honda works on.
We're out on they're Roscoe like, Boulevard.
They're and, like, and, you get a voucher for a free lukewarm coffee.
Yeah.
Don't try to get any other stuff for free.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, that's it.
It's not fun. But yeah, that's what's weird is I had previously leased, as we know, and I'm embarrassed about, a BMW from the same street.
But yes, the Boulevard of Cars.
Not even close to that customer service. I mean,
really?
You feel weird going in there. It's like, first of all, the cologne or whatever that's called, the signature scent. Is extremely strong.
Wait, sorry.
Glendale loves a good signature
the smell.
Scent,
they
don't
pump
they?
Smell into the. It's like a
like
cosmetics
at the mall.
Counter.
No,
they don't do that at the Lexus.
Hell no, because they know I'm allergic. That's so unpleasant. I fucking hate cologne and smells. I do too.
But the parking garage at the Americana, I was like, why does it smell like old ladies in here? And Julian was like, it's their signature scent.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, yeah. I saw a guy get interviewed who does that for a living. He creates signature scents for, like, high-end department stores and hotels and stuff like that. And
you know what the secret to his success is?
What was it?
Ammonia. Every single scent has just a touch of ammonia in it.
Yeah.
It seemed to me the secret of his success was taking himself extremely seriously and taking his job so seriously.
Because it's going to disappear in 7 minutes. Because, well, as the democracy crumbles, we'll start to find.
I love the idea of you pulling into Lexus and then freaking out inside and being like, get the fans!
I can't have this!
Like teenagers, when they see their parents coming home, they gotta get the weed smell out of the house. That's Lexus when you pull up.
I mean, there's nothing, like, I grew up in the 80s and 90s where people were wearing... right? Let's hear it. But, like, when people were wearing things like Poisoned by Christian Dior, which is the most disgusting smelling perfume. And
I've never,
like,
heard of that, but that sounds
high school.
So
they named it Poison.
It's called Poison.
So bad.
It smells like rancid grape juice.
And it does. And it's crazy that they call it Poison because it's so bad.
What were
so
they going bad. For?
Who knows?
Fancy, it's just like fancy old lady of the night. I think.
Mm.
I think that's sour.
Nothing like a fancy older lady of the night.
Whatever the word poison conjures in your mind, plus sour. They just want it. They want you to be left with sourness, and you were. Okay,
so, right. Sorry. So we got distracted. So you grew up in the 80s and 90s. And
no, that's what I was
saying. That was it. That was Poison.
Just I think I had signature scents forced down my throat. It was always like
Tommy Girl was a bad one.
Yeah. Mm.
So bad. And I wore everyone wore it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liz Claiborne from the 80s. That Liz Claiborne triangle, it was either yellow, blue, or red.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a big deal. But it's so teenagers don't need to wear perfume and cologne. Like,
I know. They're already...
Just stick to deodorant.
Yeah. Just get serious about deodorant.
Serious about your hygiene. Yeah. And then you won't have to worry about dousing yourself in Acqua di Gio.
Yes.
Another gnarly one.
Another terrible men's cologne.
Because, you know, the hard part of being a teenager is being attracted to each other. It's so it's so hard. How do I get these boys to get boners?
I guess Liz Claiborne's going to help me.
Yeah.
I'm 15.
I'm sophisticated.
Liz is an octogenarian, and we're going to come together.
I just started selling real estate, and I need to smell like it.
And I'm late for bio.
So we picked you up at a Starbucks.
Yes.
In Glendale. And how did anybody bother you? Were you bothered?
Not bothered in the least. Okay. It doesn't really happen to me that much.
Really?
Being bothered?
Yeah.
No,
people don't come up to you a lot?
No. Do you see how my eyebrows go down like this?
Uh-huh.
People are scared. I'm entirely unapproachable.
Yeah.
And I also just I exist purely on the inside.
Right.
So I'm not one of these, who's at Starbucks looking around everywhere. Right. I'm not going
to
do that.
I mean, I've found you to be unapproachable while we're at lunch together.
Yeah, that's so right. I try to keep my walls up, whether I'm with friends, entirely alone.
This one
in a crowd.
Has mastered a resting bitch face for New York City.
Yeah, that's true. Because people, and dudes are gross, and you just gotta...
You're not gonna walk around smiling in New York.
No.
You'd look like a psychopath.
Yeah.
You would. I mean, even if you have even if you have just a slightly pleasant looking face, you look like a target.
Yeah.
You gotta put on the meanest fucking face that you can muster.
Yeah.
Or at least look like you're thinking about something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't bother me, I'm trying to add up four digits in my mind. Please.
I'm doing long division right now.
I'm trying to divide 32 by 187, and it is not easy.
Oh my God. That just gave me a panic attack at how hard that would be for me to do.
I can't wait till our kids start asking for math help.
Huh?
I said I can't wait till our kids start asking for math help.
I mean, we'll be fine until at least fifth grade.
Just do what my dad used to do, which is grab the book, start yelling about how this is the new math, and then never help. And keep the book. That's usually what would happen. I'd just have one very simple question.
Uh-huh.
And then my dad would start reading the math book and be like, hold on.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm for sure going to have to reteach myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or get them tutors.
Yeah, we farm can just not do it out. Ourselves.
Don't
yeah.
do it.
Yeah. We were talking about this the other day. How crazy is homeschooling?
Ugh.
What are you'd have to do?
Yeah, yeah, you have to be some kind of...
Like, what is that mental thing?
Well, it makes sense if you all live on a like a snow-locked farm. And
That's what I was saying. That's really the only way I find it
yeah.
to be acceptable.
Or like in a pineapple under the sea. Yeah. Something very inaccessible.
Yes.
So we are happy to have you. And this is the first time... you're our first guest where I knew you well enough that I thought I knew your soft spot.
Yes.
And I know you have probably a few. You're a very deeply feeling person.
I am.
You feel deeply.
It's why the walls are up so high.
Yes. Because there's
the feelings go down so low. Yes, that's right.
Still waters run deep.
And they rage.
But
they
I remembered, I always used to ask you like, what script you always wanted to write.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got it from.
Yes.
Was because you said that you wanted to do a... It wasn't based on his show, but it was like a parody of it, right? Or not a parody. It was like, you tell me. Why am I telling you what your script idea is?
Stop guessing. You know what? And that is something I'd like to tell all podcasters out there.
Yeah.
When you ask a person a question...
Don't answer.
Just stop talking. Because in podcasting, and I know I do it myself, but everybody does this thing where they're like... What is it? Because actually, and then they begin to list every possible answer instead of just letting the person answer.
I am loving this.
Fucking hilarious.
Keep going, lady.
Just, could it be
Listen
this
up,
or could
Julian.
It be that?
Are you hearing this?
Yeah, I'm just, I'm
taking
never
it all in.
Again.
Yeah,
just,
okay,
I'm just
good.
Not going to talk again.
What was the question?
I don't remember the question, but here are the possible answers.
Oh, no, no. It was my script. So the idea is, and I'm still writing it, so
don't steal this,
and I've already had it, blah, blah, blah.
You don't have to talk about it if it's like,
I love it.
Okay.
It's just basically, it's the story of a guy who also has a family variety show on LA local television in the early 70s, and he believes that he is directly competing with Lawrence Welk, not realizing that Lawrence Welk is in syndicated reruns.
Uh-oh.
So he hates Lawrence Welk and is obsessed with him, and then he has his ragtag team of Lawrence Welk third rate performers who are also trying to do a Lawrence Welk type of show.
Yeah.
And it's essentially the whole first scene is a woman, because there is a woman on the real Lawrence Welk, and she's a really amazing singer. Her name is Tanya, and she's the one with big brown eyes. She kind of looks like Linda Ronstadt.
I watched her this morning.
Yeah, she's incredible. Mm-hmm. And she I have the woman who's basically playing the Tanya's competitor, is clearly on a ton of pills. Her eyes are very dilated,
uh-huh.
and it's rehearsal, and she's stuck halfway up a ladder, and she's singing her song, but she's scared to get down off the ladder. And
oh, they, part of the set
been
piece,
there, girl.
Exactly. Because you know, in Lawrence Welk is one of my favorite things. It was so 60s and like of that. The design era where there would just be a ladder going nowhere in the middle of this huge soundstage,
uh-huh.
and somebody would be like halfway up it singing, mm-hmm. right?
But it's not part of the story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It would just be like a winding staircase that just stops, and you're supposed to in your mind imagine that's wherever it is, but like
right.
the idea that it's the early 70s, so quaaludes abound,
mm-hmm.
and clearly these people are just like, I wanted to be famous and now I'm on this third rate, you know, Lawrence Welk show.
Right.
So she gets stuck on the ladder and everyone has to talk her down. And that's just the people. This is the cold open.
Yeah.
So from there we can go anywhere we want.
Right. Exactly. But it sets the tone.
It really does. And it's based on, you know, I was raised on Lawrence Welk because we had, my grandma lived with us and she had a TV in her room and my, you know, we were like latchkey kids that would come home and my grandma would be watching reruns of Lawrence Welk and we would just sit on the floor in her room and watch it with her. That was very common.
When I'm watching this, and our show is about nostalgia type stuff, and then I was watching it and I've been like aware of the aesthetic of Lawrence Welk, but I never sat and watched a Lawrence Welk show. And when I put it on today, I realized I was reading about him and stuff. It's a vehicle of nostalgia itself.
Yes, it is. Yes.
It was never like meant to be contemporary or, you know.
Big band.
Yeah. It's big band in 1981.
It's a big band TV show from the 70s or the 60s.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. So they're always going down like, and now it's a salute to our country or it's a salute to the mailman.
I watched that one today, unless they did it all the time.
No, well, I mean, I think that's...
I watched the Bicentennial one today, and I had to change it when they started doing Pop Goes... Yeah, is it?
I heard Henry Mancini. I heard Burt Bacharach. Yeah,
that was a different one. That was a good one. That was a good one.
All jams that I love. I'm going to do a deep dive into this Lawrence Welk show. Sure.
But you don't want to go all the way back to Francis Scott Key. That's just a little too far back for you.
What is that, like the black and white era?
That's like the patriotic marches of the 1800s, I would say.
Oh, yeah, no.
Or earlier. I'm not sure. Okay.
So you used to come home latchkey kid and watch reruns with your grandmother?
Yeah.
I would argue, and I'm not trying to compare hard childhoods or anything, but there was no grandmother in my house when I was a latchkey kid.
Well, you're right. I mean, there were eventually, do you want to go there with me? Because then she got
before
Alzheimer's.
Irish.
She got Alzheimer's. She was moved out of the house, and then we still had to go home to an empty house.
Oh.
But our early...
Ding, ding, ding. Okay, Karen wins this round.
And then you're just like, my mom died.
I'm with you.
But yeah, so we... That's how we started.
Did you enjoy it?
No. This was back. I mean, I also am one of those people. I'm sure you find this with a lot of your guests. It's like I'm one of the oldest of our kind, still alive. So like, this was the 70s. First of all, we lived out in the country outside of my hometown, Petaluma. So we got three channels. Mm-hmm. So this was just one of the UHF channels that came in. Mm-hmm. But we had one of those machines that turned the antenna on the roof. Like, whoa. There was no cable. You just got what came to your antenna.
Yeah.
So we were very used to watching TV we didn't like. So I know every single episode of Star Trek by heart because that was just what was on.
And you don't even like Star Trek.
I mean, as a kid, I didn't like it. I would have preferred to have been watching cartoons or Three's Company or something like that, but we just didn't have a choice. So you're just like, well, I just have to watch this space show.
Yeah.
But I started to love Lawrence Welk because my grandmother, in all of her genius, she didn't do this on purpose, but there was an act on Lawrence Welk called the Szymanski Sisters. And
the
they
Szymanski
were Szymanski Sisters.
Szymanski's, okay.
S-M-O-N-S-K-I, I believe.
Right.
And they were like, I think five or six sisters. Whoa. Ranging from the age of like, say, 18 or maybe even a little older. And then the youngest one was like 8. And they sang like 5-part harmony songs.
Wow.
And the youngest one, this little 8-year-old girl, kind of looked like my sister. She was like a little dirty blonde. She had freckles across her nose. And it would always be, they'd sing some fucking song. And then she would have the like, did you get the picture?
She got a picture of the Szymanski. Yeah. Wow, that is some.
Look at them.
They've got on like.
Meg has pulled up a picture matching, of the Szymanski sisters.
They always wore matching dresses.
Yeah.
And they sat, like, they were very posed. They would sit all in, like, this kind of pyramid. And the little one was always in the front. Uh-huh. And then they would sing some fucking song. And then the little one would always have a solo or her own line. And my grandmother would always go, oh, those girls are so talented. And it grew this rage-filled envy in me. Where I'm like, I am more talented than that little shit Szymanski sister. But no one can see, no one recognizes my true talent. And so I would just sit there like burning with jealousy.
That's so smart of her.
Yeah. Right.
I remember that feeling of only being able to watch TV you hate. And it didn't stop us at all from watching TV.
Not at all.
What is that?
Well,
it's like
because there was nothing else to do for at our house anyway. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're a latchkey kid.
Yeah,
it's that or start a fire.
I know.
Yeah, those are your options.
That's like I smoked pot for 5 years after I didn't like it anymore because I just didn't know. I didn't have other drugs and I didn't know what else to do.
What to replace
so
it with?
What am I going to not smoke Stick pot even though know? I hate it?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing of like, what am I going to read a book? No, I'm going to watch Star Trek. This show that makes me deeply uncomfortable as a 9-year-old.
And it's not even coming in very well.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have cable either growing up, did you?
We did like on and off, but I mostly watched reruns around that time. I mostly watched reruns of Wonder Woman and Batman.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like obsessed
with... You liked
with,
Batman, though.
I loved Batman.
I never
Batman.
Liked that Batman show.
The old one with Adam West? That was great.
Was it good?
It was just kooky.
Yeah.
It was kooky, and I just remember like bright colors, and I don't know. I really liked it. And I thought that Linda Carter still is, like the ultimate... She was like my hero.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always watched older stuff.
I remember the one that we had to watch in San Francisco back then was they used to play, what's the Andy Griffith show?
Yes, Channel 44.
There's a lot of Andy Griffith going on. And I was like, I know this isn't for me. But I liked it a little bit, but it was hard.
So boring.
Yeah,
pretty boring. Well, also, black and white, the second I saw black and white, I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah. Same with me.
What is this, school?
I remember my mom was trying to get me into Andy Griffith, and I think it was like the early episodes of the Beverly Hillbillies, and I was like, this shit's in black and white.
No, goodbye.
Nope. Yeah.
Also,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Channel 44 was the station we wished would come in.
It was 44.
It was Channel 44. Yeah. We were obsessed with it because that had the Monkees. They had the Brady Bunch. They had played really good cartoons. And we only got KTVU Channel 2. And that was like Tom and Jerry, Star Trek. There was a really good after school show that this guy hosted that was like, he also hosted Creature Features on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And then he hosted like the after school cartoon show, essentially. But Channel 44 was like prime. It made me feel like that's what city kids watch. And I'm a country kid. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Man. So you're in the middle of nowhere, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lawrence Welk, I did some reading on him. And I didn't know, first of all, that because my grandfather would always say, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
And I never got that it was a reference. I thought it was his thing. So I was and then I read it today that was Lawrence Welk's thing.
That's
and
right.
I don't know what to think anymore. My grandfather's a hat.
That is actually a funny joke, though.
Yeah.
Because it's how he talked.
But he was apparently he was raised in North Dakota in a German community where they did. That's a legit accent.
Yes.
That he grew up in America.
So yeah. Weird.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to go to the wiki page and find some horrible controversy, bodies in the basement.
No way.
Married for 61 years to, do you know his wife's name?
No.
You ready for this? Fern.
No, Fern. Yeah. I love that.
Fern
like conjures old glamour for me.
Yeah.
I'm totally into the name.
Fern's
Fern.
Nice. I didn't see a picture of her, but he was married to her the whole time until he died. And he died surrounded by his family in his own house.
Well, and he worked surrounded by his family.
Yeah.
Because there was lots of people that were in his family that either worked on the show or were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Tanya eventually became his daughter-in-law. She married his son. So
the only controversy I saw was that because his whole thing was like, you got to be wholesome. It's a wholesome situation. And one of them, and I can't remember her name right now, but she crossed her legs on a piano and got fired.
What?
Yeah.
A cast member or his...
A major star in the musical Family, they were called. She did something inappropriate with her legs.
Wow. Whoa.
Which I would love to see that moment today and be like, that was fireable.
Yes.
He fired her and they said the outpouring of physical handwritten letters from households all over the country, like, avalanched ABC, and he had to offer her job back.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Wow.
They were like, how could you possibly fire her for that?
Yeah.
And so he offered her a job back, and she said, "Uga fuck yourself."
Yes.
Well.
Yeah. Okay, we have to figure out which one that is, because that's legendary. That's very cool.
I don't know if Lan's already in that wiki. But yeah,
I love that so much.
He promoted a wholesome. That's why the Smonsky sisters, you see these pictures and it's like, what's so interesting about Lawrence Welk's, to me, his imagery of the show is it's like, it is genuinely wholesome, but we've been tricked at this point to think that anything that looks like that is like the most evil thing.
Yeah, for sure. You know?
Like those Smonsky sisters look like something they're horrible hiding. Has happened to them.
Absolutely. Yes.
And they're Handmaid's Tales.
Because now we live in a society where we realize, like, you can't just have the Jackson 5. That doesn't just come out of nowhere.
Right.
The Jackson 5 were little boys who were trained and abused to be great at music.
Yeah.
And it was a very extreme way for children to grow. Like, showbiz is not for children in any way. Because you have to do things that even disciplined adults can barely do. So
right.
when
right.
children are involved in it. I mean, like, it's horrifying. But the whole, yeah, the whole selling point, if you've ever seen an episode of Lawrence Welk, my very favorite thing they do is oftentimes in the instrumental songs, when mm-hmm. they throw to the orchestra, you get some nice shots of, you know, the lady playing the viola or whatever mm-hmm. and the tuba player. And then it just starts panning the audience. And there is nothing funnier in the world.
I didn't see an audience pan when I was watching.
Everyone looks like they're 80. And you know that a lot of those people are in their 40s. But it's like from 1971. And it's in...
But yeah, in 1971, if you were 42, you were 81.
Even young people looked old as fuck back then. When I look back at like the stuff my grandparents were wearing, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Well, and there were no like contact lenses. There was no... Everyone just kind of had the same polyester outfits on and the really bad hair. But it's the best. Like, you just see these panning, and it's just all these people who love Lawrence Welk who would mm-hmm. go there. They get up during those songs to dance. They're like the audience.
That was the audience.
Dance.
I did see a dance number where people were dancing.
Yeah, that's the audience.
I didn't know that was the audience. I thought that was like cast.
Yeah, no. Oh. That's what they did. I mean, some of the cast members, like Bobby and Sissy, mm-hmm. which those
Bobby
names,
and Sissy, yeah.
Bobby and Sissy, some of the greatest performers of our mm-hmm. of this millennia.
Of whatever generation you would call that.
Of any generation that's ever existed. But I mean, they were like, you know, that was part of it. It was like this weird, it was almost like the arts. It was like,
I know.
Wisconsin presents the arts. Is what I would call Lawrence Welk. That's what it was.
I think you just named the episode. Wisconsin presents the arts.
Hey guys, the 2019 FabFitFun Summer Editor's Box is on sale now. Some of my favorites include the Generation Clay Ultraviolet Brightening Mask. It's amazing for clearing up your face and really brightening your complexion. I love the Grace and Stella Rose Spray. It says it's facial spray, but I've literally been spraying it on everything I own. My clean clothes, my sheets, my everything, my kid. I also love the Wish Exfoliating Foot Mask, because you got to take care of those tootsies in the summertime, you know what I mean? That's just a few of my favorites. I really, truly love everything in there. FabFitFun is a lifestyle subscription box filled with full-size premium beauty, lifestyle, fitness, home, and tech products sent straight to your doorstep each season. They take the hassle out of shopping by doing it for you, and each box is customized to your specific interests. The Summer Editor's Box is the perfect way to treat yourself or others, because it makes a great gift, and to keep cool with the carefully curated box of products. You can save money on quality full-size products, and you got to do it today because the deals do not last long. The boxes sell out super fast, so you should sign up today. It's awesome because every time you open one, it's like opening a gift from yourself. And I don't tend to go in and pick things. I like to be surprised with my boxes, and I've never been disappointed. I love every single box. I usually take most of Julian's stuff too, because one is not enough. I want all the FabFitFun boxes. Anyway, you guys should definitely sign up, because it retails for $49.99, but the value is always way over $200. This last box, I would guess that the value of it was probably closer to $400. Let's be real. So guys, use code SOFTSPOT, SOFTSPOT, for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. That's it. Just go to www.fabfitfun.com and enter code SOFTSPOT, SOFTSPOT, for $10 off your first box. Go do it. Treat yourself. Treat somebody that you love, and get into that self-care, baby.
You know, Paul Ryan's parents loved Lawrence Welk.
Was that on the Wikipedia page?
No, but I mean, come on.
Yes.
The only other tidbit that really struck me from the Wikipedia page, and donate to Wikipedia.
Please.
We all should.
$5.
Because you know you use that shit all the time.
So when he grew up on a farm with German parents, so you know he made his bed every day. He asked his father for an accordion because he knew he wanted to be a musician. And it's an accordion that's... Isn't that funny that that's the electric guitar of German farm life?
Kids. Yes, it is. Like
he's looking in the window at the country store at the accordion, just thinking of all the chicks he's going to get.
It's like polka stars. That's real, though.
I know.
The whole northern Midwest thing.
Oh, it's sexy.
Yeah.
So he asked his dad for an accordion. He had to mail.
His dad said nine.
Verboten. It was a mail order thing, which everything was, I guess, if you live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it was $400 in 19. What was that? I mean, 50, he was on the air by in the 50s. So this was like, had to be in the 40s or something like that.
30s or 40s.
And they said in today's currency, it was some figure over $4,000.
Whoa. Jeez.
And he said, I will stay and work on the farm until it's paid off. And he was 21 when he finally finished working on the farm.
When he paid off his accordion.
Yes.
Christ.
So because most kids, I guess, would probably leave it like as soon as their legs were strong.
Yes.
they would run. And he stayed till 21. And he worked till 21 and also got other jobs because we're talking about old hardy German people.
Sure.
Of course he had other jobs.
Yep.
And any money he made in his other jobs went to the family.
Yeah.
So he was working off the accordion on the farm, but then also had to work other jobs Then he took that accordion to L.A. on a bus. I'm making up this part. And then
he got a ton of pussy. He's like, look at my accordion.
They gave him a show. And Fern was like, give me that D.
Now, what? Fern's like, give it. Fern was from Hollywood. No, what I believe it is a little bit closer to truth is that like those kinds of shows, the family, he was a local orchestra guy. So it'd be like going to like a polka night somewhere in the 40s, 50s, whatever in the Midwest was like a heat, which was all of it.
Cause it was like a hot night out.
Exactly. And so many people were German or Slavic in some way or whatever that was like culturally super popular and it got so popular. Then he was like on local TV doing it. And then that got so popular that then they syndicated it.
Right.
I don't think he ever moved to Los Angeles at all.
I think he did. I think he was in Culver City.
Oh, did he?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. But I'm not like correcting you because I read an article.
I mean, that is what I just saw the very top of his Wikipedia and he died in Santa Monica. That's about all.
So he must've moved out at some point. I thought it was like, I thought he was kind of like the Midwest hero because he never
he's
went
like
Hollywood.
I'm never leaving the farm.
Yeah. I mean, his aura, the bubble around his body was the Midwest. I mean, like where he was the Midwest, wherever he was walking, he could have been in Skid Row in downtown and he'd just look like Wisconsin walking down the street.
True.
You know, it probably smelled like, he's probably smelled like wheat. I'm assuming.
Wheat and racism.
Yeah, that's the part that you don't want to hear about. It's like, I don't want to hear about this guy's views.
No. Well, but I mean, like the woman who got fired because she crossed her legs, which is like, isn't it the opposite?
That's what I thought. I read it a couple. Okay, so Lan, what is her name?
Her name is Alice Lon, the Champagne Lady.
Alice Lon, the Champagne Lady.
She was the most famous singer on that show from the first iteration of the show.
And
wait, hold on, because everyone loves your voice, and let's have you guess.
And if anybody should be reading this information, it's you with
because
your
champagne
voice.
Champagne is my soft spot also.
Yeah.
Her name was Alice Lon, the Champagne Lady, but there is some people think she was fired because she was asking for more money and that she didn't like being called the Little Lady.
But she didn't like being called the Little Lady?
As he was referring to her as his Little Lady on the
show.
Oh,
yeah.
So she might not have liked that. But some other people feel because she propped her legs up or one of her gowns were exposing too much of that leg. So it could go either way.
If this was a TV show that I was producing,
okay,
I would immediately smash cut to a clip of the Champagne Lady, who was about as fucking wholesome and as everything she's saying is like operatic. So it's not even like she's coming out going like Moon River or anything.
Swinging her hips.
She would come down those like free floating staircases and be like, oh! Like it was like opera. It was irritating, not that enjoyable, very old-fashioned music.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds.
The idea that she's the one,
she's the worst one.
You was truly when the champagne lady came on, you were like, I'm gonna go make some toast. I will be right back, Grandma. Anything from the kitchen, Grandma. I'll be back. And so the idea that it was her and not one of those youngsters.
Yeah, that did a too much of a little bit of a high kick in one of the country western numbers. Right. You know, that's who you think it'd be.
I did see that he coined the term champagne music. Mm-hmm. That all of the music from his show was called champagne music.
And if I had to coin what I think, if I had to create a genre of what I would consider champagne music, it is nothing close to what he's calling champagne music. No. Like, champagne music would be fun.
Right. Yeah.
This was very...
Well, now there are, I will argue you, that there are... There, okay, so my friend Bradford Bleski and he is from Stevens Point, Wisconsin, very far north in mm-hmm. Wisconsin, where polka, he's the one that taught me everything about the dominance of polka culture mm-hmm. and that accordion life.
We all have one friend.
Right, that just fucking loves polking. But he kind of like, you know, Lawrence Welk is like a god where he grew up and yeah. his grandparents and all that. So we used to get together and of course smoke as much pot as we possibly could mm-hmm. and then just watch clips of it. And there are these times where it's like a combination of the fact that, you know, an orchestra with their matching band front thing. Mm-hmm. So visually it's this great looking thing. They made all the women wear these hilarious dresses. Not all the women. There's like four women in the orchestra.
I don't know what it's called. The big shoulder poofs. There's a lot of that.
Poofy yeah. sleeves,
yeah.
you mean?
Yeah, and like a chiffon. There's a lot of layers. Yeah. It was very polyester 70s.
Yeah.
But then the background, so there would be color schemes for every picture, for every show. So like the one I'm thinking of in my mind, the background wall is as pink as this microphone cover, okay. like hot pink.
Which is very, if you're listening at home, it's which is pink. Your only option.
you cannot watch from home.
It's extremely pink.
It's just like a fuchsia hot pink.
Yeah.
And then everyone in the orchestra is wearing moss green. So it's this like 70s color combos where you're like, I feel like, am I on acid or just very upset? I don't know what's happening. And then there's bubbles. And they send, because that was the shampoo.
The bubbles are literal.
Yes. There's yeah. like, so when the orchestra was playing, there'd be like bubbles floating everywhere. And then everyone, they just do singles on these band members who look so 70s. It's like every man has a comb over starting right above one ear and flipped Ooh. Over to the other side. The wavy,
there was a lot of the, I don't know what it's called, you're a hair person, when oh, yeah. guys get the like the waves going in the top.
Like finger waves.
Finger waves, mm-hmm. thank you. Yes. Ah. A lot of guys had finger waves, I noticed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of women had bouffant hairdos. Mm-hmm. I believe there was a harp player in that orchestra, there, from what
you
I remember.
No, there's a harp player in that orchestra.
I think
Come
it was,
on.
Yeah, a lady harp player. Mm-hmm. But for me,
see a male harp player.
It's rare. I know they rare. Exist, but you
I'm
don't
so
see
sick
them.
Of women controlling the harp industry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. give me a chance.
There's intense sexism in the harp industry.
Is it because my fingers are like hams? Is that why?
I need
delicate, elegant
lady
fingers. I need
yeah.
lady fingers.
You could just put finger extensions on, but it can be solved.
So do you think that he, because it was called champagne music, but I feel like if you drank on that set, you were immediately fired.
You would, they would call the police.
Yeah. Well, they would call the police.
The novelty of champagne, but not the actual consumption of it.
It's like the people who drink one glass of champagne, like four sips, and they're like, no, oh my yeah. gosh. It's like, oh, okay. So.
Yeah, they're, that's I yeah he never I was like waiting to see something in the article where it's like, and he was a bit of a boozer under that, but nothing.
No,
I mean
no.
there's nothing there.
He was kind of the real deal in that way, where it really was his family and mm-hmm. the people that he'd worked with for years. Again, Bobby and Sissy were right. always there, and you know, Myron Florin, who was like the lead accordion player, mm-hmm. who truly he would like throw to a accordion solo. I mean,
why is this show off the air?
I know. Well, and also, why isn't my show on? I really need to try better, because there it's a very rich, like, it's so easy. And that's why, oh, I wanted to remember this too. That's why, and this whole, my whole love of this whole area is mm-hmm. why, and that fucking, this was like 5 years ago, or no, it's almost 10 years ago now. That SNL sketch with Kristen Wiig where they do the three hand. Girls singing and the yeah. baby hand.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard that my sister got mad at me because she goes, something's wrong with you. And I'm like, I was hysterically laughing yeah. because you have to, like, if you know Lawrence Welk
yeah.
and you know that cast, there, and I don't want to speak ill of anybody or be critical of anybody, but there is a woman in the cast that sometimes would look a tiny bit weird on camera.
Uh-huh.
And I have a feeling.
Are you talking about Lawrence Welk or SNL?
No. On the original
show.
On the original show.
Oh, okay.
Because they always had these gorgeous women. So they'd yeah. have, they were, there was always a blonde, a redhead, and a brunette. In like, that was one of the things they did is the girls are going to sing something and then would just be, there was a redhead who was in everything. And I don't remember her name. There was all kinds of blondes. There was all kinds of brunettes. One of the brunettes, just, she was a little bit more petite than everybody else. And she just looked
a little touched.
She looked like sharp faced. So she wasn't as like rounded and all American and perfect as all the other ones. She had yes, exactly. That's what it was. She just looked a little, she was still really beautiful, but she had like an Anna Kendrick kind of sharpness to her features.
Gotcha.
Which
nobody likes that lady.
Well, it doesn't look good with a bouffant hairstyle. Yeah. So when
it just doesn't fit.
When that things started and it was like Anne Hathaway was one of the sisters and they're it's all perfect and then they come to Kristen Wiig. It was the reference, and part of what I was laughing at is like, this is only written for me and like eight other people.
Yeah.
Like, it's me and Bradford and his grandma,
right?
And like, who else is gonna get this fucking joke? It's so hilarious and deep. It's such a deep cut, and yet
I wonder who came up with that. Who in the room, because I mean, it wouldn't, would it be one of these youngs that's writing for them? I don't think so.
I mean, it could be. They've come up with other great stuff, but
Fred is so funny in that.
He's perfect. Fred,
yeah, he's unbelievable.
Perfect. I wonder if it was like Anne Hathaway being like, here's the things I love, or here's what I grew up on, or something like that.
Yeah, but then they did it a bunch of times.
Yeah, once that, but it for me, it never reached that first reveal and that hand.
I was dying. I remember laughing extremely hard at that as well. That
with
was
my
so funny.
By myself.
With my...
Because she's like, with my husband, with my fiance, with my boyfriend, with my by myself. Like, the most brilliant, insane...
It's really great.
I think it's my number one comedy moment of all time.
Yeah, it's pretty
not including my own.
What I'm struck by with your memory of the origin of watching Lawrence Welk as a child is this ability we have, and I'm sure you have this too, of seeing something we don't like when we're a kid, or eating something we didn't like, or having to go somewhere we didn't like, and then you're an adult and you're like, man,
I loved it.
That was a good time.
It's like, what is that phenomenon? I wonder. I don't know. Like, what is it?
You're dumb when you're a kid. It's like, I was with my grandma, who was like the best lady of all time, who loved us so much.
Yeah.
Like, we had no idea.
Right.
Like, looking back now, I'm like, oh, my grandmother had one daughter that she didn't have a good relationship with, that my mom had to take care of my grandma because her husband died when my mom was like 21.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like this team almost against each other's will. And like, when we came along, we broke the tension because then there was something else to pay attention to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was the babysitter.
They had a common enemy.
Right? These fucking kids. So there was all that kind of like, we had no idea. And then looking back, it's like, oh yeah, my grandmother used to just sit next to the pool. We'd go to this place, Morton's Warm Springs, growing up. And it was just a pool. It was like three pools out in the middle of, you know, Glen Ellen in Northern California. So beautiful. And she would just pull up a chair. She didn't know how to swim. She would just pull up a chair next to the pool and watch us swim in 4 feet of water. Like, we knew how to swim.
Yeah.
No one needed to watch us, and there were lifeguards. But she would just watch us, and we would like swim up to the side, and she'd be like, oh, you're just so good at swimming. Like, she was that. She fucking loved everything we did.
Feet were on the ground the whole time. Yes,
we weren't doing anything. But it was that kind of, like, I can only appreciate that now.
You're right.
Because as a kid, you're like, yeah, that's what grandmas do, and that's what I get automatically. And you don't know that there are kids that get none of that, or that you don't know how spoiled you are until you grow up.
Totally.
And then you're like, oh, it was all so good.
Do you think we when we're children, we do understand on some level, or we just really don't? Like, we just I always wonder.
I don't. I did it.
I think I totally took my grandma for granted. Yeah. And she also was like, you're amazing at everything. Like, and it was great. She would let me do her makeup when I was like six. And she was like, I feel beautiful. You're so gifted. And I was like, I am, aren't I? Yeah. I should be a makeup artist.
Yes.
She's like, probably not till you're seven.
But yeah, I remember watching Sit and Be Fit and Wheel of Fortune, and I hated that shit. But now whenever I see like anything, like when I'm looking for stuff to post for the soft spot, mm-hmm. I'm like, I remember Sit and Be Fit.
What is Sit and Be Fit? Do you know Sit and Be Fit?
No.
It's this little tiny...
What is Sit and Be Fit? What is this thing that you reference? Like, we're
what's
supposed
going on?
How do you guys not know this? It's this cute...
Explain yourself.
It's this cute little old lady with like the cutest little old lady haircut, and she's in full aerobics gear, like leotard, sweatband, but she's in a chair and she's just like, now lift your leg, and you just lift your leg
like
three times.
This is like an infomercial?
No, it was a show for old people to like keep their circulation going.
But sorry, the name is Sit and Be Fit.
Yeah.
Oh, Be Fit.
And Be Fit.
What were you hearing?
Beef It. Like, what the fuck?
That explains so much of why.
I thought it was like a recipe show or like. Was it about
Karen,
sloppy Joes?
What did you think beefing it was going to be?
Sitting and farting. It was a guided farting, elderly show with farting. Sit and beef it, baby.
Oh my god.
No. It's a half hour.
No, isn't it?
Be Fit. Okay. F-I-T. Mm-hmm. Although that's hilarious.
I mean, you just made her first merch.
Yeah.
Which is sit and be fit.
On the soft spot. With the soft spot.
Okay. Now,
but my grandma and I would do it together. We would get into like our full workout gear and we'd sit in a chair and we'd like lift our leg three times. And I had no idea, but this was totally just like to prevent people from rotting away in their recliners, basically
from their bones slipping out of their skin.
I was like, we are going to get so hot and trim. No, nobody gets hot and trim sitting in a chair, like lifting their arm up to their shoulder. Mm-mm. That's like, so you don't have a heart attack and die.
Oh, do you remember Lily?
I love the opening of that show. It's probably like, don't get up.
Easy. Hey. No, back down.
I have.
Do you remember Lilia's Yoga and You that was on PBS? It was after Sesame Street, after The Electric Company, after Via Allegre. Dun, 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 dun,
I remember all those other things. Dun, I do dun, not dun, remember
Via Allegre. Well, if you went into the next adult hour mm-hmm. when PBS transitioned, and maybe this was just Northern California because we were very hippie.
Yeah, I don't think we had you. Well, and I was in San Francisco, so you'd think maybe.
Oh, true. Yeah, then you should have seen it because mm-hmm. PBS was just that. It was Channel 9. It was just that one. But Lilia's Yoga and You, it was just this hippie lady with really long black hair and she and this kind of like mystical background, and she led yoga in the like mid 70s.
Wow.
It was like early yoga.
That real yoga.
That real
good
shit.
Yoga. Yeah. That real shit. That pure shit. That was before it was stepped on by hipster chicks.
But it's just weird because that's the background. It's like what we're talking about. It's the background things that we were just like, oh yeah, that was just what was on TV. You're not it's not special to you, something that's just on TV. You'll sit and be fit.
Right.
But then now you're just like, oh my God, that's representative of an era. It's like this thing that just doesn't exist anymore.
Totally.
Mine was music, and it was my parents on the weekends would, in the mornings, they had a record player and they would put on like Emmylou Harris mm-hmm. or something like that, which when like she had a bluegrass album, Roses in the Snow, it's my favorite album of hers, but she, now, but at, when you're six, you're like, is that a fiddle? What are we doing? You know about Huey Lewis in the News, right? So like having to listen to that music or jazz or whatever when you're like seven.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, like those were some of the nicest moments because it's morning, it's the weekend, and we're not in a hurry. Nobody's trying to, you don't have to go to school and all that stuff. And it's like your parents are like, hey, let's enjoy this thing together and have breakfast, and it's wonderful.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But at the time, you're like, you just kind of try to tune it out because you're like, oh, this lady's singing like a country person, you know. And now I love it so much.
My dad was super into classical music,
uh-huh.
And so anytime we were like in the car, it was either talk radio, which I hate. I will leave a place. Like, I could be at, like, if I'm at, like,
I will leave a place.
Oh, Big O Tires, and I have to wait in the thing, and talk radio comes on, mm-hmm. I'll leave. I can't be around it. I fucking hate it. It's always two men. Mm-hmm. They're always taking whatever they're saying so insanely seriously.
Yeah.
But then the other one was classical music, which I also thought I hated for a long time. And then, of course, when I got moved out of the house and was like in my early 20s, I realized that's what I had to listen to sometimes. It was like this weird grounding thing. And I was like, oh, I actually have a minorly comprehensive knowledge of some of the most popular, you know, the recognizable. Because my dad would always go, who's this? And he'd only ask when it was Beethoven. So he trained us how to know which pieces were Beethoven pieces.
Okay, that's nice.
It's, and, you know, it's the same thing of him making us watch Channel 9, where like we were forced to watch Cosmo as children, which made me insane, but ultimately
the Carl Sagan thing,
oh my god, that shit scared me.
It really
was, yeah,
it scared you.
Space stuff scared me, yeah.
Oh. And too big.
He was so big. Yeah,
that's my biggest note on space. Enough space. Yeah.
Stop going everywhere.
Forever.
It's not necessary.
And then be shrinking, but you're not shrinking or something. I don't know.
So we're supposed to be scared of you for shrinking, even though you're the biggest fucking thing there is. Okay. Sounds reasonable, space.
But yeah, having to watch Cosmos as a kid, I tried to watch it as a like 28-year-old, and I was like, oh, this sucks.
Well, it's very high concept for an 8-year-old. And my dad would often do it where he would turn off like Happy Days and make us watch it. So he was a real TV bully. That now I think it's really funny, because that my first comedy bit of all time was at age probably 8, when I was at the dinner table complaining about telling my mom the injustice of my father turning off Happy Days so to force us to watch Cosmos. And then I busted into a Carl Sagan impression in a rage. I was not trying to be funny. I was like, and it's this man standing there going billions and billions of dollars. And the whole table like went down. And then I was like, oh, hold on a second. This is something I want to do.
Oh, you meant your first bit like as a kid.
As a kid.
Not like that wasn't your first stand-up bit.
No. It was my first realization that I could be independently funny without just repeating like dumb jokes I heard other
kids
say.
That's good. That's a good memory of your first time.
Yeah.
Mine, that's it's a powerful feeling. That first like intentional laugh. You're like, oh, this is a trick.
And then you fuck it up the next 10,000 times. And then you become a comedian and you're terrible for 8 years. Then you get a special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That means it's the end.
Is it?
Unless you guys have something.
No.
You want to talk
about. We just
about.
Have a quick song for you.
Yeah.
In the.
Oh my God, I would cry if you guys had prepared a song.
And it's like we do the thing they do on the show where like it's just, they always just do a kind of movement back and forth where their arms in sync kind of swing back and forth. We're like.
I saw.
I love it.
One of the clips I saw that today, I was like, oh, is that Donnie and Marie? And I was like, oh no, they just all look like some kind of version of Donnie and Marie, but not nearly as attractive. No 100%. Offense.
100%. There's also the husband and wife singing team. Mm-hmm. There's so many. There's the guy that there's one guy that has an insanely deep voice that's almost like novelty deep voice.
Yeah, I saw him today. Yeah,
he's on there.
He was singing a Mancini tune that you were like, if this is what they're what he's into, I am
was like,
into
sign
it.
Me up. I love me some old people jams.
Yeah, they did a whole Mancini episode where they did like all his soundtrack work and stuff. Yeah. It was pretty great.
They tried to do modern ones. There's one of the husband and wife team. I'm sorry, I can't remember their name offhand. Singing One Toke Over the Line, and I don't think they know what they're singing.
Right.
You can find it on YouTube, it's really hilarious.
One toke over the line, sweet Jesus, one toke over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line.
all those people look like you could give them material and they would just sing it with a smile.
Yes.
And it would be hilarious because they don't know.
Yeah, they would they would cover Eric Clapton's Cocaine and just be like, it's I'm reading it off the teleprompter.
They're like, my neck, my back.
Exactly.
They think a pussy is like a sourpuss face.
Yeah.
Or like a pussy bow on a dress.
Yes.
Like, that must be what they're talking about.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for sharing Lawrence Welk with us.
My pleasure.
Oh, good times. We want to thank our producer, Land Romo. Thank you, Chris Calabrese, for making our theme song.
And thank you, Karen, for coming and hanging out with us today.
Yay. We had a great time. Remember, you always have a safe space.
At the soft spot.
Yeah, Queen.
It's a good show.